This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a good morning. What a gorgeous morning.
Boy. I'm telling you, it's t-shirt weather.
I was on the road coming down the 404 when the sun was rising. What a beautiful sunrise. Oh, what's that old saying, though? Red sky at night, sailor's delight.
Right.
And then red sky in the morning,
sailors take warning. Morning, right.
And there was a red sky this morning. But so I don't, like, very, to me, it was very red.
That's but you were the guy who was sending photographs of last night's sunset.
So, yeah, that's
so
true.
So you're really getting into the sunrises and sets these days, nature guy.
The days are getting longer. It's getting lighter and later lately, you know? Anyway, here we are on The Garden Show, my friends. And Charlie Dobbin, of course, seated next to me, within hitting distance, as they say, at least I say. And let me get you the phone numbers, okay? For Toronto area listeners, here you go. 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And our little mantra is call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian, the good-looking young man who mans the phone lines there.
True.
No. And he gave us a big thank you wave. Let Sebastian know. And when you get to the air, hey, you'll hear that.
Garden wings.
Hey,
I was just listening very, very closely to you giving the phone numbers there.
Yeah.
Because next week, and for the next actually three Saturdays, I'll be having to give the numbers because I'm going to be you.
Well, you're going to have to lose a couple of inches in height. But
I'm studying your technique here because that's what I. For those of you who don't know this, Frank is abandoning us here in Toronto, and he's heading off to sunny, warmer climes with much. Little parasols, umbrellas in the drinks, and
that's right.
And you know,
Shirley and
surf.
I are going to be taking a Caribbean cruise, and we're really looking forward to
it. Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah, we don't actually leave next Friday, so there you go.
I hate you.
Yeah. How nice.
But nevertheless, anyway. Yes, indeed. So, but joining me next week, in lieu of you not being here, I will be you, and Sean James is going to join as our co-host. He's been with us before.
Yes, I remember.
He's a principal from Fern Ridge Landscaping. Very sweet gentleman, very smart guy. And his whole thing is sustainable design, designing gardens that require fewer inputs. So they're less maintenance, they're less drag on you, less costly to maintain, and continue to look beautiful through extremes, right? You know, drought or rain or whatever. So we'll be talking a bit about that. Fusion gardening, fusion design, sustainable design next week.
Excellent. Right. Okay, The Garden Show broadcasting live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. And just a quick note that the guys who follow us, Dave's Corner Garage, they're going to be broadcasting, of course, from the Canadian International Auto Show. So you'll be hearing them live from there.
Yeah, doing their wacky show.
Oh, but they have tons of fun, that's for
they
sure.
They sure do.
Okay, let's take a little bit of a break here at 9:11 on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, I haven't gotten my bell-ringing arm out yet, and certainly not for our first caller.
No, we have Josephine, an old friend.
Yeah, Josephine is part of the family here.
Just a friend, I guess is the right way to say that.
In from Pickering via the phone. Good morning, Josephine.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie. How are you this morning?
Excellent on this sunny day.
Guess what? On Monday, I saw the first five robins in my Japanese lilac tree.
Wow. Ooh, lovely.
Full grown.
Well, you know what? I saw something, and they actually had some bird expert, talking about the robins that haven't left this winter. And it was all to do with food. Apparently, there was so many berries left available that the robins haven't needed to go south. It's usually food-based when they leave. So there was such a, last season, so many of the crab apples and the elderberries and the, service berries were still available that the robins have hung out for the winter. Yeah. So it's kind of a cool, neat that way. It's an unusual winter.
Well, it was a nice surprise on Monday morning.
Yeah, no question.
Okay, question. Mm-hmm. I have a very large poinsettia plant that I have. Mm-hmm. Now, is it worth my while to try to save it for next year? Or should I just after, because it's pretty well dilapidated. The white one's okay, but the red one looks pretty dilapidated. Mm-hmm. If I was to turn around, if it's not going to bloom, because I'm not going to fight with it like I fight with the amaryllis, turn around and plant it in the yard and let it grow. And if it goes in the end of the season, I just get a new poinsettia.
Well, you know what? Even if you wanted to keep it, the best way to keep it is to put it outside. But of course, we have to be frost free, so it won't go out until June probably. And of course, it'll come back into your house by the end of August, early September. Is it worth it? Good question. Some people really enjoy the challenge. I know the amaryllis is probably causing you enough heartache. Maybe you don't want any more challenges from your plants.
Well, I discovered something new with the amaryllis, but that'll be another day.
Okay. But if you do want to keep a poinsettia, at this point, they are looking a bit dilapidated, so you've got to keep them in a sunny location. You've got to feel the surface of the soil every day. Keep them on the, moist but not wet, and don't ever let them completely dry out. And get ready with your scissors. You're going to do a pruning. You're going to prune the plants right back, depending on the size.
What, about maybe about 6 inches?
Exactly. Like, it's one of those things, depending on the size of the pot and the size of the plant.
It's
you want to, by
take
pruning
about a third
it,
off?
Well, yeah, about a third, because ultimately it's going to be more compact. It's going to have leaves. It'll be dense. It'll be a better looking plant as the new growth comes out after you prune. And then maybe a little fertilizer. We'll start with our fertilizing in March and doing that once a month. So it's a pretty good-looking plant by the end of summer. It's a really green, bushy plant. The coloring it is the bigger challenge. It's the getting it to turn red or white or whatever the case may be. That takes a little bit of work.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering, whether it's worth the effort.
Sometimes people have a bedroom that they don't use, a spare bedroom, something that's got a window so there's sunlight coming in during the day, but it's dark in there at night.
No, can't put it in the bedroom because the bedroom faces north.
Oh, right.
My best room is the living room, and right now I've got my blinds drawn as much as I can because the sun is blaring through.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge. You're right, because through September, October, November, whatever the sort of time frame is, basically it's about a 10-week time frame where we need to provide 12 hours of dark and 12 hours of light every 24 hours for an extended period, multi-weeks, which is a bit of a hassle, in and out with the plant, into the front hall cupboard every night kind of thing.
Okay,
so
then.
It's an idea if you want to do it. It's a bit of work, but it can be fun. I've had some great photos sent in by some of our listeners who have pulled it off. So,
well, I'm going to have another question in the spring for you in regards to replanting my garden.
Excellent.
Okay.
Look forward to hearing from you.
It's good hearing from you, too. You make my day.
Thank you.
And have a
nice
good
way to start
family
the day.
Weekend.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Yeah. Long holiday weekend for a lot of people.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Hey, it's interesting that Josephine was talking about the robins.
Yeah.
Because you know what's on right now.
Oh, the bird count.
The Great Backyard Bird Count is on as we speak. And I was looking for the word ornithologist, which, thank you, Sebastian, provided to me. Do you know, it just started yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The Great Backyard Bird Count is it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Monday, yep.
It's 4 days. So it started yesterday, and already, from all over the world, close to 3 million birds have been counted. 2,915,816 individual birds have been counted, 4,000 species observed, and 26,000 checklists have been submitted already.
Wow, that's good. And so, yeah, just take 15 minutes out of your day and
that's
observe where your backyard or where the most birds
are. You can go for a walk.
Gather.
You can sit in your living room and look out the window. Bottom line is you're going to count species and then number of individuals within the species.
And where do you go to record your
Easiest place to go is, there's the, it's called Great GBBC, so and then .birdcount.org.
Great
Canada, hold on, wait, there's a place. Yeah, so just go birdcount.org and you'll go directly to it, or birdscanada.org. Any of those will take you to the right place on the web, and then you register. Once you register, you get a little form and you go from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you're sending folks all over the place. I'm going to send you to Maple now. Antoinette is on the line. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Charlie? Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I want to ask about begonia. I'm growing a lot of flowers, but I never grow begonia. And last summer, at the end, I put two pots, and now it's almost a mid high,
Wow.
All the flower because I brought in on the sunny spot. And now I brought on the greenhouse, but I want to cut and make some plant if I could. I don't know how to do it.
So I wonder what kind of begonia you have. What
I don't know. It's high, It's kind of high. It's not really the short one, but I don't know the name,
Does it have green leaves?
It's it's not really green,
So it's got speckles.
It's mixed a little bit,
What color are the flowers?
The flower is pink.
You should be able to take cuttings from the tips.
And use the normal soil, the potting soil?
Yeah, normal soil, potting soil. If you have something called stim root, which is a rooting hormone, that will speed.
I have number one.
Perfect, yep. Making sure you remove, you're going to take a cutting that's about 5-6 inches.
I'm learning a lot from you. Thank you, guys.
Oh, good.
You and Frank are great. Great person,
Well, thank you, Antoinette.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck with that. Let us know how it works out, Antoinette.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, isn't that nice? Nice phone call from Antoinette. I don't know whether she was a first-time caller. I don't remember that name.
That's me neither. You know what? Just ring the bell on principle.
Yeah. All right, in case.
Just in case.
All right.
Welcome, and don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. Let me repeat the phone numbers. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. And anywhere in the province, it is toll-free. 1-866-740-4740. When we come back, may I tell you a little bit about what we did yesterday? We have to take a little bit of a break.
You're always getting into some kind of trouble.
Well,
that Shirley, man, she's just a bad influence on you.
Well,
you were such a not troublesome person before.
Well, I'll tell you about the trouble we got into yesterday after these words on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, we got a busy show happening right here from the studio here and in the Liberty Village.
Zoomerplex.
That's it. Thank you. Let's go to another part of Toronto. Maybe get just around the corner. You never know. Marianne, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
The local grocery store after Valentine's Day had potted tulips and daffodils at ridiculous giveaway prices. And the daffodils are very tall. I was wondering if I could cut them off and put them in a vase and save the bulbs to plant in the garden.
For sure.
But do I put the pots with the bulbs outside?
Not when it's this cold. Well, not that it's cold right now, but not when it's cold. So what I would do is, you're absolutely right, cut and enjoy the flowers.
Right.
Remembering that daffodils must be kept just with daffodils in a vase.
Yes.
Don't mix your tulips in.
No.
So enjoy that. And meanwhile, your pots with the daffodils and the bulbs and the leaves have emerged. Keep those in a sunny window. Water them every now and then just because you want those leaves to continue to grow.
Right.
And absorb all that sunshine and fatten up the bulbs. And by the time, it'll take about 6 weeks, and you'll be watering less and less because you're going to realize that the leaves are going to slowly but surely start to turn yellow.
Right.
And as they're slowly but surely turning yellow, they're going to use less water.
Right.
So you don't just water on the calendar. You water based on whether the pot, you know, the soil is moist or not.
Right.
And eventually, the leaves are all yellow. You've stopped watering. They're completely dormant. By that time, it might be May. And then it's just a question of when you want to put them outside. You can put them out in the spring. You can put them in a cool spot for the summer and then plant them outside in the fall, whichever works for you.
Oh, thank you very much. That's really a double bargain then.
It sure is. No, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay,
good for you.
All righty, Marianne. Thanks for joining us here on Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show, with Charlie Dubbin. And, oh, hey, bell-ringing arm getting action here.
All right.
That is for Sandra in Lindsay. Good morning, first-time caller.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi there.
I wanted to make an inquiry about a campanula.
Uh-huh.
It's an Italian bellflower, and I wondered if it comes in a seed.
Not that I know of. Just checking out which one would be called. Campanula is a very common blue...
The Star of Bethlehem, I think.
Oh, wait a minute. Star of Bethlehem is... I don't usually think of that as campanula. Hold on. So you've got Italian bellflower. I'm just looking that up first. Or do you know the species? You know what campanula. Do you know the name that comes after that?
I have a Latin thing. C-I-S-O-P-H-Y-L-L-A.
C-I-S-O-P-H-Y-L-L-A.
What C period, and then I ask.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the C period, C stands for campanula.
Oh, I see.
All right, so let's just do that, because I'm not recognizing that campanula.
I had one for a long time, and it died out, and I'd like to replace it.
Isophila. Okay, so there's persic. Okay, so the one you had a long time ago that you want to replace, was it a fairly tall plant?
No, it was a hanging plant.
Oh, and was a really, really electric blue, or was it a pale blue?
Mine was white.
Okay, because typically they're blue. But it was a hanging plant, and you had it outside?
No, inside the house.
And it was a campanula for sure. So you had it for a number of years, or just
yes,
for a season?
I did.
Wow, that's interesting.
And it always hung in a window that didn't get direct sunlight. It got light, but not. It couldn't stand too much sun.
Right. And so it died at some point?
It just kind of gave up the ghost. I guess it just got tired. I don't know. I must have had it for 20 years.
Wow. That's cool.
Gee.
All right. So there's the waterfall series, if you will. Typically, I'm just double checking for white waterfall, because the waterfall campanula are the ones that either grow as a ground cover outside in our gardens, or they're beautiful cascading over a wall if you had a raised garden bed or something. Very, very pretty to do that. And I'm just double checking in white. It is a pretty tough plant. Like, it can be outside. Yeah, these are all blue. I know. Sorry. So you know what? You might have to leave this with me. But bottom line is, you're wondering where you could get this plant?
Yes.
Okay.
If it came in seeds.
Right. All right. And you're in the Lindsay area. All right.
Yes.
Leave that with me, available and available by seed. And you know what? I'm going to check with Stoke Seeds, because they have like every seed known to mankind. And they're also sponsors of the show. And I'm hoping somebody from Stokes can come and join me here when Frank's off, you know, with his tropical drinks.
I have a little write-up out of a flowering houseplant book, and it says to repot it in the spring or sow seeds in spring.
Okay, and they referred.
That's why I wondered.
And do they refer to it as Italian bellflower?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Nice. So they are treating it as an indoor plant.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know what? Keep listening. I will try and report back today, and if not, I will report for sure next week.
All right, that's great. Thanks
okay,
Sandra.
Thanks for your
Thank
call.
Thank you. Thanks for giving us a ring here on Zoomer Radio, 9:30 on the button there. Well, 9:31 now.
Yeah.
I got to tell you quickly.
Don't tell me quickly.
Oh, okay.
Give the numbers slowly.
all right. Very good. I'm getting a direction now from the boss. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. and anywhere else in the province. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Yeah, Shirley and I went down to the Aga Khan Museum yesterday. I've been wanting to do this for several months, and things kept popping up. Oh, okay, we won't go. But finally, we're going down. Wow. It is, if you are looking to take some friends from out of town to, some of the great attractions in Toronto, make sure that is on the list. It is marvelous.
Particularly if you're a student of design or architecture. I mean, obviously there's shows going on and you ate some amazing food there as well. Oh. But I was there back in the summer when they unveiled the landscape, and it was stunning, and will continue reflecting pools and beautiful symmetry.
And the Aga Khan was there.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Me and the Aga Khan, we go way back.
I go with buds.
He's sending the helicopter for me, I think, next weekend. While you're away, I'm going to be down in his private island.
Well, we're going to – I don't want to take too much time on your show here, but on my show this afternoon, about 1:45, I'm going to be speaking with Henry Kim, who is the CEO and director of the Aga Khan Museum, and he's going to be on the line with me with tell a little bit more about the building and the exhibit of Syria.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so you saw the Syrian exhibit.
Marvelous.
Yeah, I know. It's really good. It's a neat history behind that. Why that was built there and the process of building it and the amount of money it cost to build. And, I mean, even just the
map. Japanese architect, Mr. Maki, I can't remember his first name, but he designed this with light in mind. He was given the direction by the Aga Khan to make sure light was kind of the theme. And did he ever pull it off? Wow. And of course, yesterday was so sunny. It was beautiful.
I bet. Yeah. I mean, the marble. I mean, it's just, and like, it's all about quality workmanship in there, too.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just unbelievable. Yep. You could spend like a week in there just kind of running your hands over
unqualified
the walls and.
Top 10 out of, make it 11 out of 10.
Better than the CN Tower.
Yeah, honestly.
Really? If you've got family, you know what? Yeah. That's because it's always the classic, eh? Got to go to Niagara Falls, got to go to the CN Tower. But you know what? Put the Aga Khan Museum on that list when
it's
you've got people visiting, because it's a very special place.
Absolutely. Okay.
Right. I'm with you.
I think we have another caller on the line here. We do.
Lionel
in Mississauga. Hello there and welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Good morning and thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Okay, so now I have a blue spruce shrub, or maybe it's a dwarf tree. It's grown to a bit tall. It's about 10 feet tall and about 5 feet wide. It's overhanging the driveway, though, so it's, scraping the size of the vehicles when you get into the driveway.
Right.
And I wanted to trim it back. And what I want to know, how best to approach it, when's the best time? And, when you trim it back, obviously you're going to have raw edges at the tips of the branches. Will they grow back to cover those raw edges in time?
Okay, so quick question. You mentioned it's about 10 feet tall and about 5 feet wide, and it's overhanging the driveway. So how close is it planted to the driveway?
Well, it's pretty close to the driveway, but when you're parking your vehicles.
Yeah. Oh, no, I understand. Yeah, it happens. And poor blue spruces, they're invariably planted in just not quite the right spot, and
exactly,
they grow and
exactly.
they cause problems.
That's what's happened with this one. We planted it pretty close, and now it's become so wide that it's affecting the parking, damaging the vehicles, actually.
Yeah, no, it will, for sure. And so here's what you're going to do. As you might know, because you've had this spruce on the property for a number of years, when the new growth is forming on a blue spruce, typically June, depending on the spring, the new growth is bright, bright, bright turquoise. It's very eye-catchingly pretty. And the older growth is a deeper blue, usually. But the soft new growth is on the tips.
Yeah.
And it's at that point that you can do your pruning on a spruce, when that nice, soft, new growth is there. If you look at a branch, just take one branch, put it in your hand. Even now, you could go out and you could see where the buds are, where the new growth is going to come. And if you go from the very outer edge of that branch you're holding in your hand and go up to the first point where the branch actually forks, you will see a bud there as well.
Okay.
And you're going to see it most obviously once it starts to grow. And that's where you're going to make your pruning cut. You're going to cut just below, if you will, that new growth. And when you make that cut, you might have removed a couple of inches from the branches.
Okay.
But you will have that new bud will cover that blunt cut that you've left.
Yeah. Okay.
But of course, you want to cut back about a foot, I think, right?
Yeah, I wanted to go all around it, you know, right around it, to make a nice sort of shape that's going to be left over. But I wanted to cut back, say, minimum of a foot all around.
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to do that, you should have done that about 5 years ago.
I know.
Or, you know what a lot of times people will do? It's not my favorite thing, but they will trim up. They will remove all the limbs from the bottom of the trunk so that the tree now clears everybody's head.
I don't want to do that. It would look pretty silly.
It's only 10
feet
tall.
Yeah. Okay.
How long has it actually been in that spot?
Oh, you know what? About 15 years.
Oh, that long. Okay.
About 15 years.
Move it, but it'd be a little tricky to move.
Well, the water line runs, at the base of the root, to do that, I have to call in the city and so on. It'll cost a lot of money, and you might as well, chop the tree down at that point.
Yeah, well,
buy a new tree.
Yeah, well, that might be a good plan, just because if you're going to do any trimming on a spruce, do it when it's actively growing. Mm-hmm. Take a look at it, see if there's any logical way that you can prune it. Try pruning it, stand back. If it looks really, really silly, I would cut it down and start again, but plant it in a better spot.
So given the warm weather, today wouldn't be a good day.
No. Okay. The only pruning we would do today, because you're right, it's a beautiful day to get outside.
Exactly,
we could do some pruning on our fruit trees if we had apples, peaches, pears, crab apples.
Okay.
As some of those deciduous plants could be pruned on a day like today, but no evergreens.
Okay. Okay enough. All right. But thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. And I understand your dilemma, and my heart goes out to you and your spruce.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Lionel. Yeah, thank you for joining us on a gorgeous long weekend.
It doesn't get any prettier than this.
Well, and we're going to hit records today, I think, or break some.
They keep talking about how warm it's going to be and, family weekend and get out and enjoy. Nobody's talking about flooding. Like, nobody's talking about a massive melt. Now, maybe it's because there isn't that much snow. They're not worried about massive melt.
In Midtown Toronto or Downtown Toronto, not a lot of snow at all. But
there's some banks of snow, not a lot. I mean, it's pretty dirty and ugly. But yeah, where you are, you've got footage, I would think.
yeah, in some
meterage
cases, right.
Almost.
You're right. We have to take a little bit of a break right here, and then we'll come back and say hi to Alan out there in Elmira, okay? That's where we're heading next here in the Garden Show. I'll let you know that lines are open, 416-360-0740 for Toronto area callers, and anywhere in the province toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Charlie shall return to solve your gardening problems or offer up suggestions of your own, whatever the case may be, coming up next here on the Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, we're away and running here.
We're talking two different languages here, a little behind the eight ball.
Okay,
let me just go back to Sandra.
All right, yes.
Sandra's hanging on in Lindsay, wondering about where she can get seeds for Italian bellflower, also known as Campanula isophylla. The only seed supplier that I can see on a quick glance is a company called Thompson and Morgan. So Thompson and Morgan, they're a British seed supplier. They can be reached, obviously, via the web through thompsonmorgan.com. If you don't have access to the web and you want to try giving them a call, my suggestion, Sandra, is you give them a call to directly to England. The number is 0844-573-1818. So that's 0844-573-1818. Thompson Morgan, you're looking for Campanula isophylla seeds.
Alrighty. Okay. Right. Excellent. Now, to Elmira we go, and there's Alan. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Frank. Morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah.
We're here, and we can hear your puppy.
Yeah. Sandy, stop. Amaryllis.
Yep.
I have a white one going to bloom and a red one going to bloom. I was wondering if I could cross-pollinate them to get a pink or something.
Well, you probably won't get a pink. You logically, you would think a little red and a little white would make pink. You might, who knows what you would get. So that's the interesting thing. Yes, if you wanted to get out there with your little paintbrush or a Q-tip, but remember, if you're going to do that pollinating, cross-pollinating, and pretend you're the little insect doing that movement of pollen across to the other plant, you're going to have to bag the, bag where you've, the ovary, if you will, the stigma, and allow seeds to form. It's going to take a number of years to grow those seeds to be big enough to have flowers.
Yeah, the red ones, I started them, well, it's 5 years ago now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Some of them started flowering after 4 years, okay. But some of them haven't flowered yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's the size of the bulb more than anything. So, yeah. I mean, sure, why not? It'd be interesting.
Well, I just wondered because I never didn't have a white one before.
Yeah, well, and there's so many variations on Amaryllis now. I mean, that's been one of the things the breeders have been working on the last 20 years is different colors and speckles and freckles and shapes of petals and all kinds of really neat things. So, sure, why not? Try it. You never know. You could come up with something amazing, and then you get to name it.
Yes.
If I live long enough to see
it. Well, yeah, like you said, it's a couple of years to make it happen, but it can be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Good stuff, okay. And good luck with that. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Have a great day, a great long weekend.
You just never know what people are up to, eh?
Exactly.
Doing little, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde experiments with plants, trying things.
You never know what's out there. I do know we do have a first-time caller, though.
Oh, good.
Yep, there's Helen in Toronto. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you, and I listen all the time, and I've been meaning to call, and I thought I'd just have to do it. I was given an azalea at Christmas time, and it was beautiful, and there was buds on it, but the buds never opened up. The buds, everything has dried on it.
Oh, yeah, it's from lack of water. It must have dried out at some point.
No, the thing is that I poke it, and it seems like it's pot-bound.
They do seem like they're pot-bound, but if the buds have dried and dropped, and if the leaves look quite limp, even though you've watered it, azaleas are interesting. They will dry. You can't really allow an azalea to experience what we call water stress, so a need for water. As soon as it's had some water stress, it affects the quality of the plant pretty much forever and ever, unless you're really patient and you want to baby it back to health. So, yes, I wouldn't worry about it being super pot-bound just now. It will seem like it's pot-bound, but unless you've got roots growing out the bottom, for now it's more about keeping the plant constantly moist, not wet, but moist, fertilizing it with an acid-loving fertilizer, so something, a fertilizer specifically for azaleas, and doing that, every month or so, every 2 weeks, according to the directions on the fertilizer. But do feel the surface of the soil every single day, and as soon as it starts to feel a little bit dry, water. Make sure it's getting lots of sun. Make sure you turn it 180 degrees every couple of days so you've got balanced growth. And don't be afraid to prune it back. Probably now or in the next 2 weeks would be the time to prune it back because it's going to help force some new growth so it won't end up being like a scraggly little plant.
Okay, so I can prune it back now because right now the leaves are falling off. It's dry, dry, dry.
Yeah. So
everything's falling off.
Right. Yeah, so give it a good clean up. Take it over to the garbage. Flip it upside down. Comb your fingers through the branches so all the dead stuff comes off because you don't want the dead leaves sitting on the surface of the soil. They will start to rot and you'll end up with some fungal problems. So, be quite brutal in the sense that, just combing gently. Anything that wants to come off, get it off. Get out your pruners. Cut it all back. Give it a really thorough watering. Take it in the shower with you. Just make sure it's, gets really that. It's a peat moss ball, and it's sometimes hard to get the moisture right into the center of that ball. So really water, let it sit in water for 20 minutes in a saucer so that water will penetrate right to the center of that root ball and then drain out whatever's left in the saucer at that point.
Okay, so it can be in the sun because according to the directions on here, it says no direct sunlight. That's what I'm concerned.
Yeah, no. I keep mine in lots of sun all the time. You, as long as it's very bright, that's fine too, but it does need bright. It does not want a dark corner. It doesn't want to be 10 feet away from a window. It wants to be closer than that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
All right. Don't be a stranger. Call back anytime.
Well, you know what? I got an email from one of our listeners. I just didn't get a chance to answer her back. She has an azalea. Helen, I hope you're listening. The listener who emailed me photos, her azalea is 25 years old.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so she's kept it for 25 years, and it's in full bloom right now again. So, but her trick is she puts it out every summer. And by getting it outside, it's in all that lovely humidity outside, and she puts it in the shade outside, but it nice, lots of moisture, lots of humidity, brings it in August every year, and it's a happy, blooming plant all winter.
Good stuff. You know, we're basically prisoners of the time, and we have to take another break here is what I'm trying to get to, okay? But we do have Barbara and Bev and Ron waiting to talk to Charlie coming up next here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden handing things back to Charlie just momentarily because we meant to squeeze this little note in about the...
Get the jump on spring.
That's it.
Perfect weekend for it, too. So that's today. Just want to remind everybody, after this show is done, you're all juiced up, you're thinking about gardening, opening the doors open at TBG, Toronto Botanical Garden, at 10 a.m. today. They stay open until 4 p.m. Free admission, free parking, exhibitors, expertise, shop till you drop, have a bunch of fun, get the jump on spring.
You got it. Okay, we're barking up the right tree here. Hey, out in Mississauga, there's Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Oh, hi.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Excellent.
Good, good. I've got a Norfolk pine that I got before Christmas, and it was doing really, really well until about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed at the bottom, it's going kind of brown. Mm-hmm. And now other areas in it are. And I know you got to spray it. I've been spraying it every day, but I'm wondering, you know, what I'm doing wrong. Too much water, not enough.
So you're misting with water, trying to keep that humidity up, which is good. Uh-huh. And you're keeping it away from drafts. No hot air is blowing on it. No cold air is blowing on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good. And you've got it in a bright sunny location.
Okay, I probably don't have it in a sunny enough location.
Yeah, it does want...
If I have it any closer to the window, it's going to be close to the vents, so, you know, it's got the hot air blowing out.
Right, so you've got those, like a duct that's in your floor, vent in your floor. Okay, so what I do is I go to my local Home Depot and I pick up something called a vent deflector. And it's a clear plastic with magnets.
Oh, and have it...
Direct the hot air. You still want the hot air in the room, but you just don't want it blowing straight up into the plants. So direct that away. Get the plant closer to the window. Remember to turn that plant because it will grow very lopsided if it's allowed to just sit still. Uh-huh. And when it comes to water, how big is the pot? Is it a small Norfolk Island pine or a big one?
It's about 4 feet high.
Oh, so it is a good-sized pot. Mm-hmm. So the trick to watering a plant of that size is that we can't stick our finger in and really learn much. It's too deep. And so it's very hard to know when to water, and it's too big to start picking it up to feel the weight. That's a good example. When you're out there getting that vent deflector, also pick up a moisture meter. So a moisture meter is a probe. You stick the probe into the soil down, 6-7 inches, and that meter will tell you the status of the moisture level down where you don't know what it is.
Yeah, is that available at most good garden centers?
Yeah, good garden centers, and you should even have it at your Canadian Tire, your Home Depot, anybody who carries any plant supplies, probably even Walmart has them. So it's just got a little battery in it and a gauge that shows wet, dry, and in between. And of course, what you're aiming for is you want this plant to not ever go completely dry, but you also don't want it to sit and get super soggy, and the roots will start to rot if it's wet all the time.
So at what point on the moisture meter should I be adding more water?
So you'll get it down to the medium dry side, not to dry, but just...
Medium dry.
Medium dry before you water. When you do water, you'll water thoroughly, so the water goes through the drainage holes out into the saucer below, and then you'll let it dry down again until that gauge gets back to the medium dry side.
And is it okay if there's water in the pool at the bottom, or should you empty out the saucer underneath it?
I would do, so that you don't have to be such a worry about the misting so much, is consider a tray with pebbles and water in the pebble tray at all times. Then when you water the plant and the water goes out the drainage holes, it'll just drain into your pebble tray. And that way it won't ever sit in water, because it'll be sitting up on the gravel.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, very good, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Neat little town called Uxbridge to the northeast. Mm-hmm. Bev is there. Hi, Bev. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a tomato growing plant, and it's blooming, but it has bloomed several times, but there's no tomatoes, and I wondered if I have to...
You have to be the little insect.
I have to be the bumblebee.
Yeah. You got to pull out your Q-tip or your paintbrush, and you're going to have to move some pollen between the flowers.
Okay. Very good.
Good luck with that.
All right. And I believe this could be our final call for the morning. Ron in Scarborough, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a yellow rose, patio rose tree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I took it out of the ground, and I have it sitting in the garage, which is around 8 degrees. Mm-hmm. The branches are green, and it looks okay, but there's little shoots coming up, white shoots. Like, some are about half inch, some are 3-4 inches.
And that's
Should
coming
I
up.
Keep clipping those back as they grow, or
so that's coming up from the root ball. Or along the stem?
Oh, along the stem.
Yeah.
At the end of the stems, like the continuation of the stem.
Oh, it's growing is what it is. The reason they're white is because it's in the dark. So you're saying that on the tips of the branches, you're getting what appears to be little new growth.
Yes.
So you there's no windows in your garage, no light.
No.
Sounds happy, though, eh? It wants to grow. And
it
so warm today.
Yes.
It's going to be more than 8 degrees.
Put it out for the day?
Well, it's going to be more than 8 degrees in your garage. You better vent the garage, because it's going to be like 15 or 20 degrees in there with the sun beating down. That's a bit of a challenge. You almost could. I wouldn't put it right out, but I'd certainly, like I say, get some fresh
Open
air
that
in
door
there.
To the garage, maybe.
Yeah, and see if you can get some light on it. What's going to happen is the white is going to turn green, because that's what's happening. The growth is there, but there's no chlorophyll being formed because there's no light on the plant. And so you're going to have to figure out what you can do to support the growth. It's the plant knows. It knows the days are getting longer, and it's responding to the longer days and wants to get going. It's got lots of energy in its root. So, there's no way, you wouldn't want to bring it in your house. What you need is you need to get some light on it. Could you perhaps get a grow light and hook it up in the garage and just turn it on for 12 hours a day for the next month or so?
I guess I could do that. And then would those shoots come out like the normal, like normal growth?
Yep. Exactly. Then you wouldn't be out there pruning it so much. Because if you keep pruning it, you're going to end up pruning where the flowers would have been. Like, you don't want to keep pruning it right now, unless it's just a one-time prune for shape.
Okay.
Sounds like the grow light might be the idea.
It seems a little lopsided. One side's got a lot of branch, some doesn't. So I shouldn't be doing anything until spring, basically?
Consider it spring now, because as far as that plant is concerned, it's spring. So it's been in that warmer location, so the plant is ready to go. So do a proper pruning, get some lights on it, water as necessary, and get it outside as soon as we start getting some nice weather.
Okay.
And in for the night if necessary.
Thank you, Ron. We have to scoot.
And we ran out of show.
Yep. Dave Rediger and Alan Gelman, all the gang from Dave's Car Garage.
They're all juiced up, I bet.
Oh, they are going to have a ball today.
You know it.
They're broadcasting live and direct from the Canadian International Auto Show.
If you can get down there, you can meet them live and ask your questions in person.
And my friend, I'll be saying au revoir to you for a little while.
I hate you.
Thank you,
Frank.
Sebastian.
Man, I'm so jealous. Frank's off for 3 weeks to cruise the Caribbean, and he's leaving me behind. But it's okay. I'll find some other people to have breakfast with.
Very good. Your turn to buy today.
I know. Okay. Thank you, right. Frank. Thanks, Sebastian. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.